the person you guys really came to see today. And let me just preface this next part by letting you know, been going to the RVP meetings for years, and every time at the RVP meetings, it seems like they're always talking about the incredible things that are happening in Florida. And we talked a little bit about this last night at the barbecue. I couldn't believe that in Florida, not only do you ask the prospect to give up $149 to become an associate, but then they have to get licensed, which is another $180. And they are kicking everybody's tail in recruiting in the nation. What, like second place or something like that? I mean, when they on the Monday morning conference calls, when they're reading about the top recruiting states in America, Florida's always right there in the top five. Three, sorry. Top three, and it's not only $149, it's then another $180 on top of that to get your license. And I sit there and look at that and just go, how do they do it when it's only $100 here in the state of Utah? And we just stop right there. Can you agree that if it's more than twice as much and yet they're killing us and 47 of the other states out there, that there's something we could learn from some people that have figured out how to recruit. You guys, for those of you that are a little bit intimidated to invite people to do the business because you're like, oh, I don't want to bring up that $149 issue. Can we agree it ain't an issue in Florida? But that's why I wanted to bring this gentleman in here to the state of Utah, because I was sitting there just watching them shower these accolades on what they've done in the state of Florida. And I thought, man, there's something we can learn from this gentleman. And I'm excited to take notes and listen today to the incredible Mr. Don Thompson.
All right. So for those of you that are wondering how long I'm going to train today, these are my notes. So, by the way, Dave, I saw your name at the top of that list. And congratulations, but I want you to know that we also have 142 months, so until we leave Utah in 10 days, you're tied for first, all right? So but, you know, it's exciting to be here. We've had a great time. Utah is a great state to host people coming in, I got to tell you. So give yourselves a round of applause. We had an absolute blast. I have learned a lot, some things. I've learned that Dave's definition of adventure and my definition of adventure is slightly different, right? You know, his definition of starting, like, you know, we're going to take you on something to do that's easy is like leaping off a 5,000-foot mountain instead of a 10,000-foot mountain. It's like, you know, so, but we've had a really, really good time. My boys have a nickname for him called, it's called Crazy Dave. My oldest yesterday asked me in private, he goes, how is he still alive? but we've had a... so... not that private, no. But we've had a great time. And give you a little bit of my story and my wife and our background and so forth is we actually got started in Legal Shield in 1996. And I was telling a little bit on the story when I was at Fridays at the meeting after the meeting doing some stuff. And people said, you need to share your story with everyone so they kind of know your background and how you got started in the business and what you went through to get to where you're at. And I'll share a little bit of that throughout the day. But, you know, you hear so many stories of people that came into Legal Shield and they want, like, platinum executive director in, like, 10 days, right? And you're like... You know, how did they do that, right? You know, and how did they, you know, and I always say there's always a story behind a story. You know, last night at the barbecue I was sharing that, you know, you hear like Dave Savola, for instance, and Dave's my upline Diamond Executive Director, and you hear people like Dave Savola, they say, you know, Dave doesn't say it about himself, but you hear people say it about Dave, oh, he made $1.2 million in his third year in Legal Shield. And that's true. But I've also heard people say, oh, he made $1.2 million in his third year in the business. And that's not true because he was in network marketing for 20 years before he ever got involved in Legal Shield. So really, the true statement is he made $1.2 million his 23rd year in the business because he had 20 years of experience contacts, people he'd met in other companies, and things like that, that got him to where he's at today. And when you see most of these people that walk the stage and they went platinum in a year or they did this or that, there's usually a story behind the story. And it doesn't in any way diminish their story. You know, they've got a great story, and I don't care if they paid their dues in this company or another company, they paid their dues. They went through the learning curve, they learned how to do the business, they made contacts, and then they were all able to bring all that together in many cases, you know, when they came to Legal Shield. Well, my story was a little bit different because when we got involved in Legal Shield, my wife and I actually met in college. I know some of you were asking how we met, and we met in college. And I had always been the type of person that I just knew I did not want to work for somebody else. I just knew I didn't want to do that. That was just not in my DNA to be an employee. I don't, you know, but my dad owned businesses since he was 18 years old. He owned sales organizations. He got to the top of the company, his company, and you know, he was the Dave Savola of his company. And so I said, you know, that's what I grew up around. So I knew that was the lifestyle I wanted. I grew up watching, you know, him have some of that, you know, time freedom and, you know, and having the boats, and we were able to do stuff and travel and things like that when I was a teenager. So I said, that's what I want. And so when we got out of college, we opened up a retail store, and we spent about $40,000 of our own money to open up the store. And so we had come across a little bit of money through a situation. And so we went ahead and opened up, spent our whole life savings and opened up this retail store. And when we were introduced to Legal Shield, the retail store really wasn't doing that well. Sometimes when I don't have a lot of time to tell the story, I'll say things like, well, we sold the store and went full time with Legal Shield. That's not technically how it happened. Things weren't really going that well, and we had joined Legal Shield, and we'd been in Legal Shield for about 19 months. And I kind of knew that the store wasn't going to make it. I was just trying to, you know, bleed enough money out of the store to get my Legal Shield business to a point where I could be on a full-time basis. And so, you know, when it got to the point where it just was unsustainable, we had to close the doors of the retail store, and we had to make Legal Shield work. Because I was so opposed to getting a job that I said, I've got to make this work. To me, you know, they talk about, you know, when Cortez took his troops to the New World, you know, they say that he burned his ships to motivate the troops. Well, in my mind, I had burned my ships. I wasn't going to go get a job. Now, thankfully, I had a spouse that also believed that I shouldn't go get a job. Because sometimes you're in that situation where you believe you shouldn't go get a job, but your spouse is like, no, you definitely should get a job, all right? So thankfully, we were in alignment that she's like, listen, they're never going to pay you what you're worth. You figure this Legal Shield thing out. She says, I know you can figure this out. So, you know, our first, to kind of give you a little example, when we got started in Legal Shield, we were in Toledo, Ohio. It was 1996. It was March. We started March 26, 1996. And so I remember two dates every year. I remember our anniversary. I don't forget that. And I remember when I started in Legal Shield. It was March 26, 1996. And we got started. And I remember the very first thing they told me, I was like 2 days in the business, is you have to go to your business briefing. Now, I lived in Toledo. If anyone ever been from Ohio, been to Ohio? Okay. The business briefing was in Columbus. Okay. Now, if you know Ohio, that's like 2.5 hours from Toledo. Okay. And so I said, well, wait a minute. I got to go to this meeting, and it's in where? It's 2.5 hours from here. They said, yeah, but the number one income earner in the whole company is going to be there, and he's going to, and as a matter of fact, I even arranged my brother-in-law who sponsored it. I even arranged him to sit down with you afterwards and talk to you a little bit. I said, okay. So I went to Columbus. I took 5 people with me. I took my brothers, my dad, mom, and one friend that would come to anything if we bought them dinner afterwards. And we all went to Columbus. Dave Savola, there was like, room was packed. I was like, wow, I see the vision. So they were really smart to get me to that event because it really opened up my eyes to the vision of, well, man, this thing's bigger than I thought it was. You know, I watched this little videotape, got excited, but now I realize that there's real people here that are doing this business. And afterwards, Dave Savola sat down with me and my 5 people that I brought with me. And he said, okay, here's what you got to do. Now, I know you're going to find it surprising if you've heard Dave's training. He says, you got to do 2 a day, and you got to attend a weekly meeting. And I said, well, I can do the 2 a day, Dave, but there's no weekly meeting in my area. And he said, no, he said, you got to do a weekly meeting. He said, so here's what you got to do. You go home, you rent a hotel room, and you do a weekly meeting. I said, Dave, I don't know if they told you, but I started like 3 days ago. Okay, I said, so he's like, it doesn't matter. He says, no excuses, go home, start a business briefing, rent the room, he says, and just do the briefing. And I said, how do I know how to do the briefing? He says, you got my VHS tape? He says, watch it until you understand it and just do it. And I said, okay. So the next week I went home. I didn't know any better. I rented the Best Western right next to my retail store. We closed the business early because we were open 9 to 9 Monday through Friday and like 9 to 5 on Saturday. So we actually closed on Tuesday at 7. So we'd have time to run over to the Best Western, get it set up. That was back when there was no PowerPoints and all that stuff. And I would do the business briefing for like the same five people that I took to Columbus with me, right? And finally we got a guest to show up. And it's a true story because my dad, I'll never forget when he told me this. He goes, we finally got a guest to show up and they were covered head to toe in cement because they worked for a cement factory and they didn't shower before they came to the meeting. And afterwards my dad says, listen, I don't know how this is supposed to work, but I'm pretty sure this isn't it. And so we just kept on doing it. And so my story is that my first 9 months, I did the business briefing, like rented the room and did the briefing every week for 9 months. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know how to do the business. Matter of fact, here's how I would do the briefing. I would get up and we had this little thing that said, here's how the membership works. We didn't talk about the company. There was nothing to talk about. So we just said, the company's almost out of debt and pretty soon they will be. And here's, if you buy a membership, it'd be helping us out a little bit. And, here's how the titles, here's how the membership works. And then we'd flip it over and I'd say, now, I don't really understand the compensation that well, but I got good news for you. We got the number one money earner in the entire company that's going to explain to you how the money works. And they would like look around the room like, how would I miss this guy? And I would hit play on the VCR. I have it queued up to that part of the presentation. Dave would do his little 15-minute presentation on the TV. And afterwards, we would circle people up and see who wanted to get started. And we did that for 9 months because I didn't know any better. Because there was nobody that was there to train me. My upline was 1,500 miles away, and he really wasn't a whole lot of help. And above him was Dave. And, Dave's just traveling around, and he's helping me where he can, but he's busy. And so I was figuring it out. And so my first 9 months in Legal Shield, my first 1099, which I still save to this day, was $1,593. That's what I made my first 9 months in Legal Shield. Now, most people at that point would have quit because they're like, you know what? I've spent more than $1,593 trying to figure this out. But here's what happened. There was an event. And so they advertised in Ohio that there's this Super Saturday event. Now, back then, it was different than it is today. The Super Saturday was $75 a person. And so I went to the Super Saturday. Now, here's what I had to do to go to the Super Saturday. Because everyone on my team worked for me at the retail store, we had to close the retail store for the day. We knew we were going to lose over $2,000 in revenue because Saturday was our busiest day. So we closed the retail store for the day. We all went to Columbus, Ohio. We all paid $75 a piece. Cost us over $3,000 to go to that Super Saturday because of all the revenue that we knew. Some of that revenue is just not going to come back. Some of it might show up on Monday morning, but some are just going to walk to your competitor and just not come back. But I knew that that wasn't my future. I knew this was my future, so I was willing to pay the price to go to do that. And I listened to two platinum executive directors basically say, here's how you do the business. So I came back, and I said, okay. They know a lot more than me. I'm not making any money. They're making money. So I said, I'm going to apply everything that they did. So I had a guy walk into my store about a week later. His name is Clyde Jacobs. I'll never forget his name. And an interesting fella. And he walked in, and he was buying some janitorial. I was in the floor care business, like vacuum cleaners and stuff. And he was buying some janitorial stuff because he wanted to start his own janitorial company and have some part-time income. I said, no, I got something better for you. I'm not selling you floor care. I got something better. I recruited him into Legal Shield. And then he didn't know it, but he was my guinea pig. I said, I am now going to apply everything I just learned at the Super Saturday on Clyde. He is my test experiment to see if this really works, all right? And so I worked with Clyde. I did everything they told me to do to get him started right, to do all those different things. And lo and behold, Clyde went out and built a team the next month that did 13 memberships. Now, you got to remember, after 9 months in the business, this was October of 96, my entire organizational volume in October of 96 was one, and that was the one I sold. So I went from 1 to November of 96, 14, and for the first time in my Legal Shield business, I said, wait a minute, I can see this is going to work. I can duplicate what I just did with him, with everybody that I sponsored. So I started doing that. Then I heard about the national convention in March of 97. I went to the national convention, didn't have any money. As a matter of fact, my good friend Rich, who I went to college with, he was on my team. I convinced him to go to Oklahoma City with me, because I knew that he had the money to go and he could loan it to me. So we went to Oklahoma City together. We shared a room in Oklahoma City and so forth. And we stayed 25 miles from the place. And I went around there and I met all of these people that I said, you know what? if these people can make six figures, seven figures, and so forth, I'm just not doing something right. I didn't blame the company. I didn't blame myself. I said, I'm just figuring this out. You know, it's going to take me some time, figure this out, and so forth. So I came home and I applied all that information I learned at the national conference. And within 5 months later, we went from, we weren't even manager, we went to the national conference. 5 months later, we were executive directors, our 19-month in the business. Okay? Now, I'd love to tell you that from that point forward, everything was just hunky-dory. But anyone that's ever gone executive director the very first month knows that sometimes you go that very first month and you put everything into it, and then there's a little bit of a lull, and maybe you miss it the next month. And so for about 18 months after that, I was like in, I was out, I was in, I was out. And let me tell you something, when you're full-time, you're trying to do this on a full-time basis, that can be very trying in the psyche about being in and out and things like that. But we finally got things solidified about beginning of our fourth year in the business, where we were executive directors on a consistent basis. But it really wasn't until about year five or six where things really just started to click for us. And it wasn't until year 10 until we got our six-figure ring. But I tell all that because one thing that never occurred to me that entire time was quitting. You know, because here's what I knew. I knew the company worked. I knew the membership worked because I had used it for some pretty serious things. Okay, so I knew, I felt good about the product, and I kept telling myself, I said, you know what, I am just not doing something right. It's okay, I'm learning. I was 23 when I started, you know, and here's what's interesting. Here's something that my friend told me. So I had one of my best friends that I went to grade school with. We went to college together. We were roommates in college. I've known him since I was like, you know, 8 years old. And I remember him saying, he went on to law school. My fourth year in Legal Shield, he said, how much have you made in that thing? Because we graduated from college together. He wanted me to go get a job. You know, I graduated top of my class in college. I'm a business marketing major. All my friends went off and got these great jobs, and here I am struggling. And he's like, why are you struggling? Go get a job. You're very employable. You've got a great background. You graduated top of your class in school. I said, well, let me ask you a question. His name was Joe. I said, Joe, how much are you paying to go to law school? He said, because he asked me how much I made in Legal Shield, and I said, about $50,000 my first 3 years. He goes, $50,000, all the work you put in, you made $50,000 in 3 years. He goes, Don, this is not working. I said, okay, how much are you paying to go to law school? And he was paying about $20,000 a year to go to law school. I said, well, here's how I look at it. I said, you have paid this university $60,000 to learn your craft. And when you get out, you're still going to be at the beginning of the ladder as far as that goes. But you paid them $60,000 to learn how to be an attorney. Legal Shield has paid me $50,000 to go to school and learn how to be a professional in what I do. The way I see it, I'm $110,000 ahead of you right now. Now, let me fast forward that story about 8 years later. We went to his house on and he ended up becoming a partner of the law firm, doing very well for himself. We went to his house a few years back on New Year's Day. And we were going to watch football together and do all these things together. Remember, I'm at his house. We're traveling and doing all this stuff. And we showed up at his house just for 2 days. And he says, hey, Don, listen, we can't watch football together all day because I got this case I'm working on. So I got to go into the office at least a half a day on New Year's. But I'll be back by 3 o'clock and we can start watching at that point. Now, remember earlier I said people have money but no time? On New Year's Day, he's out doing that. And here's what he told me. He says, you know what? He says, I know I made fun of you, and I know that I was hard on you and things like that, but he says, you did the right thing for your family. And there's no better, you know, they always say the best form of, and I won't even use the word revenge, it's not really revenge, but the best form, I guess, of satisfaction is massive success. Because the people that, you know, and some people that doubted you at the beginning won't ever say anything, but a few will, and that'll be like total, like, that'll be like the best day of your life. It's like the day that you say, everything that I worked for, everything I sacrificed for, everything I put up with, and things like that, you know, just made sense. And so that's kind of our story and how we got involved in Legal Shield, the journey that we've kind of taken to Legal Shield. And I'm not at all, you know, afraid to tell people when they say, how long did it take? I say, it took us 10 years. Why? Because that was my story. I had never been in this business before. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no background whatsoever. But think about this. I was 33 years old when we got our six-figure ring, and all of a sudden, for the rest of my life, I'm just set up. And so I was going to be doing something for those 10 years. Why not plant those seeds that will pay us for a lifetime? And so once I got the six-figure ring, I said, you know what would be great? To have a six-figure residual income. That means that even if I didn't sell a membership this year and my entire team quit and didn't sell a membership this year, that they would still pay us six figures on the residual side. And so that was my next goal. And we got to that point. So then we had a six-figure residual income that was going to come whether or not we sold a membership at all this year. And then I said, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool to have $250,000 residual income, like as earned residual income that comes in every single year? I mean, if you took literally didn't have a year where you sold no memberships, your team sold no memberships, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just giving you an example. But I'm just saying that you have that security to know that that's there. Matter of fact, when I'm in Florida, I always say, you know, if everyone on my team quit and I quit, they'd still pay a six-figure income. If you're on my team, please don't quit. You know, so, but I'm just trying to paint a picture that that's what's available to you with Legal Shield. So that's what we're here today, kind of setting up our training today to help you understand what you've got here. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what you have in your hands. But, you know, the company has a corporate slide presentation. This one's pretty short. It's only about 8 slides, just to kind of help you understand what's going on in June. So before I get into some of my material and things like that, I wanted to make sure that we cover. Okay, thank you. Gotcha. Okay. So we want to talk about just a couple things the company wants to make sure that we talk about. And by the way, I love the fact that the company has really taken this business and made it into a kind of a cookie-cutter system for everybody. That in Utah, you know that you're going to get the same slide presentation. I know there's some Super Saturdays going on in Florida today, and that they're seeing the same slides that you're seeing to make sure that we're all on the same page, promoting the same things, you know, dancing to the same, you know, drummer. I think that makes a huge difference when you're out there. You know, one of the things I do, I'll tell you about our biking story later, but I do some bike riding, road bike racing and riding with my son. I know some of you are looking at me going, you do racing? Okay, so we'll tell you that story later. But, you know, one of the things I've always found is there's this thing called drafting. You know, if you got five people out here, they're all doing their own thing, they cannot go as fast as five people in one alignment that are all going the same direction working together. So that's what we've done in Legal Shields. We've taken a lot of these teams that are doing these things. We put everybody into an alignment so that we can draft off each other, use each other's momentum, and together we can all go a lot faster than somebody that's trying to hang out here doing their own thing. And so that's what we've really created with Legal Shield. So let's talk about some of the things that, again, the home office wants to make sure that we cover here today. And, you know, first of all, we've got some incredible announcements. We talked about a couple of these here, but we've got a big tour that's going on right now with Rip Mason and Darnell Self, Rip Mason and Dave Cibola. And you might look at that list. I had someone in Florida say, well, there's no location in Florida. How can we build into this? To me, that's a short-sighted approach to your business. If I can help you, one thing today is that you need to get your business out of Utah. Now, if I was in West Virginia, I'd say get your business out of West Virginia. And if I was in Florida, I would say get your business out of Florida. Wherever you live, get your business out of your backyard and start building a business that's nationwide. So when you look at this list, I'm pretty positive that if you started talking to your associates on your team and said, do you know anyone that lives in one of these markets? I'm pretty sure that someone on your team says, oh, you know what? I got a brother that lives in Chicago. I got a friend that lives in Chicago. I've been talking to a prospect that lives in Detroit or in Southeast Michigan. So that's how you utilize these events. Don't look at the events and go, oh, they're not coming to Utah. I guess I can't capitalize on this. No, this is your chance to get your prospects or your team's prospects in front of, you know, our CEO, our, you know, one of our top presenters in the company. So make sure, you know, that's in your back office. So I'm not going to have you, you can write those down if you want, but you can get that right off your back office. There's a flyer on those types of things as well. You know, we talked about the $149 promotion. And on Thursday, I talked a little bit about how to use a sense of urgency with the promotion. The reason the home office puts these promotions in place is to help you have a reason to contact people. You know, you might have been following up with the same person 7 or 8 times. And you're sitting there thinking, what could I possibly say to them the 9th time that I haven't said to them the first 8 times? You know, what do I send them? What do I follow up? But now you have a reason this month to literally contact every single person that you've ever contacted about Legal Shield and say, hey, Dave, I know I haven't talked to you in a little while. As a matter of fact, it's probably been 6 months we talked about Legal Shield. I know the timing wasn't quite right for you, but right now, this month, our company has an incredible promotion that I have never seen them do before. We are just came out of our national convention a few weeks ago. They are on a crusade to bring as many new associates into our company as possible. And they've actually lowered the cost of getting started in our company to $100. So what I'd like to do is I want to send you to my website one more time with some new videos on there. Have you take a look at what we're doing. Or, are you available for coffee in the morning? Let's just get together and have a cup of coffee in the morning. Let's sit down and talk about this. You know, but it gives you a reason with a sense of urgency to contact those people you haven't contacted, you know, before. And so that's what this promotion, it's not even about saving $49. It's about giving you a reason to literally contact every single person that you've ever been in contact with about Legal Shield and understand that things change in people's lives. So, you know, I had a company I was working on. Somebody that was to recruit an insurance broker. And it just happened to be in this particular situation. And they were just not interested. But I just kept following up, you know, on the recruiting side. Whenever I would make all my recruiting calls, hey, by the way, here's what's updating. And all of a sudden, I called them a couple weeks ago, and they go, hey, you know what? I'm glad you called. We were actually just talking about you yesterday, and I think that we may be ready to do something with this. Now, if I had not contacted them as a follow-up, maybe they would have talked about it, forgot about it, moved on to something else. But because I just happened to contact them, so that's why follow-up is so important. We'll talk about that in the training a little bit later about follow-up. But this is a reason to literally follow up with every single person that you've ever been in contact with on the business opportunity side. You know, we have some great recruiting calls that we have here. We have the different calls we have for teachers, for fathers, you know, and so forth because of Father's Day. But we have a whole bunch of calls, and I'll leave this up there for a few minutes for you, that have different categories that you can literally, you know, hey, you know what, if you're in the real estate business, we've got a call for people that are entrepreneurs, things like that. If you've got someone that's in the sales background, if you've got someone that's a pastor, if you've got someone that's, you know, a teacher, you know, we got one for moms, now we got one for dads, you know, so we got all of these different calls that you can use as an exposure. So when I look at recruiting an associate in the business, I've nearly never looked at, you know, I think that you have to understand recruiting is a process. And, you know, I remember Mark Riches years ago came to Toledo, Ohio and did a training. And he had this little, and this is going back like 15 years ago, but I never forgot it because he talked about it. In this particular situation, he was applying it to group marketing because I know Mark does a lot of group. But you can apply it to, I'm going to apply it to network marketing in this situation here. He said that when you approach someone, it's like, he says, imagine you have a bag of ping pong balls, and on every ping pong ball, there's a number. There's a 1, there's a 2, there's a 3, all the way to 20, 1 through 20. He says, so when you approach someone about the business, it's like you stick your hand in the ping pong balls, pick a number out, and it's a 3. What does that mean? This particular person, I'm probably going to have to follow up with for about 3 months before they decide that they want to join Legal Shield. He goes, sometimes you pull one out and it's a 1. What does that mean? They're ready to go right now. I caught them at the right time in their life. They see it. They're ready. They're a 1. They're ready to go right now. He goes, sometimes I pull out a 2, which means that it's going to take me 2 months of follow-up. He says, sometimes I pull out a 20. What does that mean? I may have to drip on them for a year and a half before they finally say, hey, you know what? Are you still doing that Legal Shield thing? But he says, no matter what number they are, he goes, I've always approached it the way that I'm just pulling it out, and hey, it may be a 3, it may be a 1, it may be a 5, but if I continue to do my follow-up, I follow up with them on a consistent basis, eventually they're probably going to sign up as a member or an associate or both. He says, but that's how he looked at it. And that really helped me when I first got started because I said, okay, it took a lot of pressure off me. Like, hey, if Dave doesn't see it today, it's okay. He might be an 18. I just got to keep on consistently following up, be professional and so forth, and eventually, you know, he may see it. You know, he might be a 1. He might be, hey, Don, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. Let's do this thing right now. So these calls are just another exposure that you can make along the way. You know, when you got those people that you got to consistently think of exposures and things like that to be presenting to them, these calls are great for that. You know, we have our Believers and Achievers event coming up. And we're going to show you a quick video on this, and I'm going to talk real quick about the Believers and Achievers event coming up. But they put together a little video for you to watch on this event.
This fall, an event like no other, where you get to choose the city, the speakers, and the topics. It's the Believers and Achievers Regional Sales Conference, October 5th, 2013. You can choose to attend one of two venues, Orlando or Las Vegas. Then, everything at the conference will be decided by your vote. Choose the 5 speakers you want to hear and choose the 5 topics you want to learn more about. Your vote makes the difference. Seating will be limited. Only 2,500 will attend at each venue. be one of them. Reserve your place in the audience for only $59 to be part of this utterly unique and energizing event. Where will it be? Who will it be? What will you hear? Let your voice be heard. Believers and Achievers 2013.
Awesome. Now, we talk a lot about events, and this is our next national event coming up October 5th. And you have the same unique opportunity here in Utah that we have in Florida, and that is that the venue is within driving distance of you. So it should, because there's one in Orlando and there's one in Las Vegas. So I know obviously you'll be pushing towards the Las Vegas venue, and we'll be pushing on the East Coast towards the Orlando venue. But, you know, the great thing about it is for both of us within driving distance. So this is a great opportunity to get some of your especially newer associates to this event that maybe didn't attend Oklahoma City because, you know, for whatever reason. I know it's a little bit closer for you for Oklahoma City than it is for us from the East Coast. But this is a great opportunity to get them in front of a national-type training. Any of you that were in Dallas at the B2B-type conference they had in Dallas, just some great, great training that went on. This is going to be phenomenal training from the field. You know, in Oklahoma City, there was a lot of training from the corporate office because there were so many announcements to make that there really wasn't a lot of opportunity for some of the field leaders to get up and do some training like we do at Super Saturdays and things like that. This conference is going to be all about field leaders getting up. And they got, as a matter of fact, some of the top leaders like Rip Mason and Alan Fernley and Dave Savola and Darnell Self, they'll be getting on the jet doing both events on the same day. So they'll be starting off in Orlando, and as soon as they finish, they'll be on a jet because of the time difference getting to Las Vegas. So there's going to be a set of top leaders that are going to be doing both meetings that particular day. So this is a great opportunity for you to get your people out there. What I've told our people in Florida is register yourself. And register like a, get an extra ticket for yourself. Because there's going to be someone you recruit on your team between now and October 5th that if this sells out, and Las Vegas is really close to selling out, if this sells out, you're going to say, man, I wanted to get this person in and it's too late because it's sold out. But if you had that extra ticket for yourself, you can use that kind of guest pass to give that new associate you haven't even recruited yet to get them to that event. So this is an event. We'll talk more about events, but you definitely want to make sure that you get to. So, you know, here's our action plan today. If you want to know the theme of my training today, here it is. It's pretty simple. Sell more, recruit more, right? So that's what we're going to talk about, how to do both those things. So, Dave, you go ahead and stick that start document up there for me. We're going to start on that. So I'm not just so you know my training style, I'm not a big one on PowerPoint presentations. That's not in any way a dig on anyone that does PowerPoint presentations. That's not my style. I just feel restricted. Every time I go to a marketplace, my training is slightly different because I try to get to know the people in the marketplace. I try to, talk to lots of people, get a feel for what, maybe a particular market, does, how they work and things like that. And I really try to tailor my presentation. I'm the kind of guy, I tell you how I feel about things. I tell you, this is how I've done it. I don't know how to do it any other way than the way I've done it. But the way I've done it is the way that the home office tells us to do it, which that's the good news. You're not going to hear me talk about anything different today than you've heard before. So if you say, oh, man, I came to see this guy from Florida, because obviously they're doing something different in Florida than we're doing in Utah, I hate to let you know we're not doing anything different in Florida than you're doing in Utah. It's not about doing something different to have success. It's about doing what you already know you're supposed to do and doing it better. You know, the problem is, if you're always changing how you do the business, how do you ever get enough experience in one thing to have success? You know, most people go through life with 1 year of experience in 20 different things. Most people never go through life and have 20 years of experience in one thing. And so you end up with two people that after 20 years say, well, listen, I've been doing this for 20 years, but this person's more successful than I am after 20 years, probably because they focused on learning how to do this one thing for 20 years and became a master of their craft, when this person over here spent every year they're changing. Oh, this year I'm doing this. Oh, now I got to change and I got to do this. And now I'm going to do this. It's about staying consistent with what you're doing and just learning how to do it better. So, the 10 core commitments, we'll talk a little bit about those today, talk a lot about those, but I'm going to share the 10 core commitments from my perspective and just share you stories about how they played a role in my business. You know, here's how I did that commitment. Here's how I did it well. Here's how I didn't do it well. Here's how I improved in it. And that's what made the difference. And it's all those little 1% things that make a difference. You know, my oldest son, he just finished his sophomore year in high school, and I'm a big stickler on grades. a couple reasons. One, I want him to have good grades. I just want him to, the way I put it to him, I want you to do what you're capable of doing. If I felt you were a B student, I want you to get B's. If I feel you're an A-minus student, I want you to get an A-minus. If I feel you're an A student, I want you to do what you're capable of doing. Okay, I just want you to be, I don't care what the grades are as long as it's what you were, you put your best in, we're capable of doing. Now, thank God when I was growing up, that they don't have what they have today where you can monitor your kids' grades like online, real time. You know, that's from a parent perspective, that's pretty cool. It would not have been cool 20 years ago, okay? So, and I would not have wanted my parents to go, hey, so I see you got a 60 on a quiz. You know, that would be like hidden in the back of the folder where nobody ever saw it, right? And so, but here's what I, you know, what I taught my son is I said, you realize, because his grades are made up of 40% is the one quarter, and the other 40% is the other quarter, and then the final exam is 20%. So that's how they kind of do the semester mathematical formula. I said, you know, if you get a 93 instead of a 92, that's the difference between an A and an A minus. If you get a 90 instead of an 89, that's the difference between an A minus and a B plus. Now, it's not fair. I know it's not fair. His freshman year, he had one semester, he ended up with three 90s. So he was right on the edge, but he was all A minuses. Then his sophomore year, he ended up with three 89s, which were all B pluses instead of A minus. I said, you know, I said, but I used it as a great learning tool. I said, but it's 1%. Now, it may only be 1%, but the 1% can be the difference. I said, ask a baseball player. You know, a baseball player can go up and they can be hitting 250, getting paid league minimum. Some other guy might go up there hitting 300, getting paid several million dollars a year. And the difference is, like, every 20 times they come up to bat, one guy gets one more hit than the other guy. Now, it seems insignificant, but ask their paycheck if it's insignificant. It's totally significant. And so most of the time when you're stuck at a level or you're trying to hit another level or things like that, most of the time it always goes back to the basics. And it goes back to somewhere along the line, you stop doing that 1% thing that you were doing that was causing success, or you've never done that 1% thing that the leaders are doing that's causing success. And most of the time, those things compounded, you do 10 1% things off, you're off track. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to try to at least get you on track on a couple of those 1% things. And when I leave here today, you're never going to remember everything I told you, and you're never going to be able to change 10 things in your business. So what I want you to do here today is pick up one or two of those 1% things that you can make an immediate change in your business and implement that will make a difference next week in your business. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is getting started right. And the reason we're going to talk about getting started right is because it's probably the number one thing that you can learn in this business. Because you never get a second chance to get someone started right. And if you start someone off wrong, you know, I'm not going to say that they can't recover, but at the same time, you put them behind, you know, right away, right from the beginning. And so, you know, Legal Shield has a getting started right training. It's, you know, legalshield.com/start. You know, and this is a document that basically tells you here's the great thing about Legal Shield. We say, hey, go get someone started right. And you go, well, how do I do that? We have a document that tells you, here's how you get someone started right. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to go home and try to reinvent the wheel. You just pull this up and make sure every time you go to get someone started, you get someone started right. And let's talk about a couple of the things, you know, that are on here. The first thing that, you know, it talks about here when you're getting started right is, you know, creating your list with the memory joggers and so forth. And I want to kind of help you understand the list-making process a little bit, because I think sometimes new associates especially, sometimes they get nervous about the whole list thing. Okay, so I'm going to make up a list, and you're going to go contact everybody that I know, and is this going to be, you know, most of the time, new associates, if you just help them understand why they need to do something, and what you're going to do, it would take a lot of the anxiety away from them creating the list. You know, if I take you to a room and say, close your eyes, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen, but have faith, and you've only met me like 4 days ago, you're like, okay, I really don't know this person. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to close them out, you know. But if I tell you, hey, we're going to walk in this room, I'm going to, you know, tell you what's going to happen and things like that, now you feel comfortable because I've told you why you're going to do those things. So when I get a new associate started, I would say, listen, one of the things we're going to do is create a list. Let me tell you why we're going to create this list and what we're going to do with these people. And I try to set them at total ease. So they go, okay, I feel good giving you these names because I feel like I know what you're going to do with these people. You're not going to embarrass me. You know, you're not going to make me feel awkward. I'm not going to do something that's going to be way outside my comfort zone. You know, and I let them know that most of these people are not going to be interested. I said, but when we approach these people, even if they're not interested, they may lead us to people that are interested. And, you know, one of my favorite stories to tell is Darnell Self's story with Michael Humes. You know, I know both those gentlemen very well, and we just had both of them in Florida. You know, Michael Humes was not on Darnell Self's list. As a matter of fact, Darnell Self went to somebody and said, hey, you know, let me show you this business. And they said, I'm not interested. And he said, okay, but do you know someone who might be interested? And they said, well, actually, you ought to go talk to so-and-so. And he went and talked to so-and-so who was not interested. And he said, but you know anyone that might be interested? And he goes, well, actually, you ought to go talk to this person. It happened to be Michael Humes' mother, who basically, you know, was, but hey, go talk to my son. And that's how he met Michael Humes years and years and years ago, you know, in the industry. So, you know, but had he stopped at his list and said, you know, hey, this person's maybe not going to be interested, I'm not going to put them on the list, he would have missed out on millions of dollars by not finding that Michael Humes. And so I let them know, I'm not even caring if the people on your list get signed up. Here's what I'm caring about. I'm caring that they know what you're doing. You know, let me ask you a question. If you were going to start a daycare here in Salt Lake City, would you tell all your friends and neighbors you were starting a daycare? Sure you would. You'd say, hey, I just opened up a daycare down the street, and we've got like 20 openings, so if any of your friends, you know, have kids and stuff like that, let them know, come over. Matter of fact, tell them that you sent them over, I'll give them a little discount, take care of them, things like that. You would try to get the word out that you had this business that you were open. And I can't imagine going to like a family reunion with my wife, and we just opened up this daycare, and tell my wife, whatever you do, don't tell anybody that we opened up this daycare. That would just be ludicrous, right? Why would I do that, right? I'm going to say, hey, guys, by the way, I just want to make a little announcement. You know, my wife and I have been trying to get this daycare open for like 5 years. We finally did it. It's over here. Tell your friends and neighbors. We got a daycare. So if you get in Legal Shield, why would you go in the Secret Service? That doesn't even make any sense, you know? You know, you want to let everybody know that you're in Legal Shield. Whether they're interested, not interested, it's immaterial. Let them know because they may go, hey, you know, I got a neighbor that you could probably help. Or I got a friend. Do you handle, you know, real estate, because my friend's going through a foreclosure issue, and he was just saying the other day, I said, yeah, get me in touch with your friend. Let me talk to him about what we do. So let everyone know about your business and what you're doing. Now, by the way, would you tell people that don't have kids that you open up a daycare? Why would you do that? They don't even have any kids. But they know people that have kids, right? So you want to make sure you tell every single person, about your business. So when I tell new associates that as we're getting our list together, just kind of puts their mind at ease as far as stop trying to figure out who would be interested and let's just share what you're doing with people. We're going to do it in a very non-threatening way. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to let them know what the business you're involved in, let them take a look, and worst case scenario, they might refer us to somebody, you know, that can get started. Dave, could you, I got this, actually, can I flip it here or you can flip it there? Thank you. You know, so we got a place to write all those names down and this memory jogger. I love the memory jogger part of this because you can't go through that memory jogger and not create a massive list. I mean, if you really go through that memory jogger, you can't do it and not create a massive list of people. You know, I talk to people sometimes, they go, I don't know anybody. Really? I said, do you have a cell phone? Is there any names in your contact list on your cell phone at all? Well, yeah, how many? 87. And you don't know any of those people. How did they end up in your cell phone if you never met these people before, right? I mean, everybody knows people. What people are saying when they say, I don't know anybody, is I don't know anybody that I would feel comfortable talking to about Legal Shield, or I don't know anyone I think would be interested. What your mind is doing is they're prejudging every single person that you know, and they're going, I can't think of anybody that would join the business. But you don't know. You know, when I was approached with Legal Shield, I was a little bit pigheaded and stubborn, and my wife might say I still am a little bit. But you know, I would tell people walk in the retail store, so how's it going? Oh, it's going great. You know, if family members ask me how's the store going, man, we're doing great. Because you, nobody ever wants to tell you that they're doing lousy or hey, we're going to lose a store in a year or stuff like that. So my brother-in-law could have prejudged me and said, hey, Don's doing great in this retail store. I'm not going to share Legal Shield with him. He'd have sunk $40,000 into this business. Why in the world would he be interested in Legal Shield? He could have totally prejudged me. Or when he sent me the stuff and I said, I'm not interested. Don't ever send it to me. I'm not doing it. He could have said, well, he said no. But he didn't. He said, hey, how do you know you're not doing it? You haven't even looked at it. What are you not interested in? He goes, do me a favor. Take a look at that one 20-minute video. See, the thing, I was basing the business on my relationship with my brother-in-law, who we didn't know each other very well. And thinking, oh, well, you know what, if he's in it, I don't want to do it. But when I looked at the tape, the VHS tape back then, I looked at it from a third-party perspective, didn't judge it on who gave me the information, judged it on the third-party information I was reading or looking at, and said, you know what, this membership makes total sense. I just had three situations I could have used it, and it changed my whole perception on the business. So that's why you want to make sure that you introduce everyone to it, whether you think they would be interested or not, because it literally changed my life. I am very thankful that he was stubborn enough to keep sending it to me and not take my first no as a response, because had he said, you know what, Don's obviously not interested, I don't know what I would be doing right now, but I wouldn't be doing this, all right? So you want to make sure that you continue to follow up. David, you change the next one. So you have on here, you know, your contact list. You kind of go through and you help that new associate put their top, you know, 10 in play. We grade that a little bit. And you know, here's what I do with my top. What is the number one goal we're trying to help a new associate do? Fast start qualify, right? That's our number one goal. Now, when a new associate is in this zone, okay, I try to keep everything off the radar that's not involving helping them fast start qualify. Okay? Now, I'll say this a little bit later and so forth. I am a big advocate of going to group school. You know, I support the group school in our state extremely well. Both group vice presidents are best friends of mine. I am the small business trainer for the state of Florida, all right? So obviously, I encourage people to go to small business class. I gave away half the state about a year ago just so I could focus on some other things, but I've been a small business trainer for 15 years with the company. With all that being said, I tell new associates, don't go to anything until you're fast start qualified. Your number one goal when you're first 30 days is get fast start qualified. That should be nothing else on their radar except getting paid and promoted. Because when they get paid and promoted, what happens is they have a sense of accomplishment. Well, once they get paid and promoted, then you can start saying, hey, we got some other trainings you can go to that are super. They're going to help take you to the next level and so forth. But in that first 30 days, you know, I had a person show up my small business training class a couple months ago. He goes, I did it. I said, did what? He goes, I'm done. I said, done with what? He goes, I went to CDLP school, I went to group school, and now I got small business, I got it all taken care of. I go, well, how many memberships have you sold? He goes, well, I haven't sold any yet, but I got that done. I go, wait a minute. I said, how many days left do you have fast start qualified? He goes, well, I've been in the business about, you know, 27 days. I'm like, no, the number one thing to get done is fast start qualification. You know, you don't get paid for certificates. You get paid to go out and get paid and promote and build your story. But you know, so we want to make sure we keep the main thing with new associates. So what I want to do is I want to grade their top 10. I've had new associates go, oh, you need to talk to my brother-in-law. He's like if you can convince him to do Legal Shield, you can convince anybody. I'm like, well, don't introduce me to your brother-in-law, for God's sakes. I don't want to talk to him, all right? I mean, why would I want to talk to the most negative person you know that's going to be the hardest to convince? I want your 10 easiest people. I want the 10 people that are going to come over with a smile on their face, and these are the 10 people that you say, hey, you know what? I mean, if you were going to start a corporation, would you hire your brother-in-law to be the president? No. I mean, introduce me to the top 10 people that are going to be the easiest. I'm not in a competition to see who I can recruit if they're the easiest or hardest person you know. So the top 10 should be the people that will just come over and listen to you just because you asked them to. You know, when I first got started in Legal Shield, I mentioned my dad and my two brothers. You know, I told the story on, I think it was last night I told the story, but I said, what do I got to do to start getting overrides? And back then, you had to be level 3. They didn't even have names for, you know, this stuff. You didn't get a name until you were a manager, right? So I wanted to be a level 3 associate. And I said, so at level 3, I can start earning overrides. Yeah, what do I have to do to get there? You have to recruit 3 people. I said, okay, that's all I need to know. Don't tell me anything else. Let me go get that done. When I get that done, then you can tell me what the next step is. That was my mindset. Don't tell me about level 4, manager. What do I got to do to get there? I'll get there. Then you can tell me, here's the next thing you got to do. So I went over to my dad and mom's house, and we would have a little thing. All my brothers lived around us. I have two brothers. And one was 20, and one was 18. And we all sat down. We would watch Monday Night Football together, kind of sports family. I said, okay, before we watch Monday Night Football, I got involved in a business. I want you to look at it. I put in the video with Dave Savola. So I did my very first PBR. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know until years later. I go, that's what that was I did? Was it called a PBR? Okay, I guess I did a PBR, okay? I put in the videotape, and they were like, oh, we got to watch. Yes, you got to watch this. It's an hour long. Okay, so I put that in. And they watched it, and my dad's like, son, I will support you, and I will join the business, and I will support you, and so forth. I said, great. My middle brother said, I will do the business. I said, great. My younger brother said, I'm not doing it. And I said, no, you're doing it. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. I said, you understand, they told me I'd get three people to get overrides. You're doing it. And that's the benefit of being the oldest, right? And he said, but I don't want to do it. And I said, okay, listen, it was $65 to get in as an associate back then. Because they had a basic plan and then they had the fast start plan. So I said, you're just getting in for the basic plan, $65, and you're doing it because you owe me at least $65. All right. So he did it. And so I showed up with my three. I overnighted those three applications in the next day. I said, okay, I'm level three. Now what? And then so my number one focus was just get Fast Start qualified. We didn't have Fast Start back then, but that was kind of it was different back then. But that was my goal. Get started, get paid, get promoted, set myself up for success, and then do it. And by the way, my mom and dad went on to become bronze executive directors in the business. And, built a business, long business for 17 years, worked with them. Unfortunately, my father passed away about 9 months ago. But my mom, still getting those residual incomes from that business that they built. So that's how you grade that list. And then you set yourself up with what we call a private business reception and a private conference call. Now, let me just take a little bit of the fear out of you for some of these things. Because I know that when you start telling people, we got to do PBRs and PCCs and stuff, when you're new, sometimes we got to be careful as seasoned associates. We start throwing all these terms around to new people because it can be kind of intimidating for a brand new person. Hey, do your PBR, set up your PCC, do this, do that. And they're like, whoa. I got to get all these people together. What does that mean? So you just let people listen. First thing we're going to do is we're going to get some people over to your house, some of these top 10 people, the easy ones. I'm going to come over. Or if it's long distance, we're going to explain, what the business is about. We're going to introduce them to the membership. I said, don't even put any pressure on yourself. If five people show up and nobody's interested, it's okay. The fact is you did it. And I said, just work on. So I coach them through the PBR process. I take the pressure off of them, because I know that, that most of the time, a lot of the success is in the follow-up anyway. I might go do a PBR and there's six people, one signs up, but I know if we follow up diligently with the other five, probably by the end of the month, we'll have two or three more associates, a couple more memberships, and sometimes I've done PBRs where six are there and they all sign up. And sometimes I've done PBRs where six are there and nobody signs up. And I've had all kinds, so I just take the pressure off of the people and say, we're going to get these people over. And by the way, we'll set up a private conference call 2 days after the PBR so that I will get on the phone for 15 minutes, introduce myself. I will edify you. I said, and then what we'll do is I will do like a short 15-minute presentation on the membership and the opportunity, what we're doing. And I said, who we're going to invite to that call is everyone that does not live within driving distance of your house. So everyone on your list that lives across the country, we can't bring them to PBR, but we can bring them to a private conference call. And we will also invite everyone that told you they were coming to your PBR but didn't come. We'll invite them on the private conference call. So I can say, hey, Dave, man, I'm really sorry you weren't able to come over to the house the other night. He'll give me some excuse. Oh, the kids got sick or this or that, whatever. You know what? I wish you were there, but this gentleman has agreed to do a private conference call for just me and a few people across the country. And I want you to be on that call so you can at least hear a little bit about what you missed at our meeting the other night at our house. And can you at least do that for me? Be on there on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Since he missed the other one, he'll probably feel guilty enough to get on at least the private conference call and be on there. So both of those are important. Now, what I do with my team is I get them a free conference call line, like through freeconferencecall.com or something like that, and I have everyone call into that number for the private conference call, and I record the call. So that way, when the call is over, I can give my new associate that 15-minute call for them so that they can call people up and say, hey, by the way, were you able to get on the call tonight? What'd you like best about what Mr. Thompson shared? Oh, that was tonight. Doggone it, I totally forgot about that. Well, luckily, we did record the call. So let me give you the recording number so you can dial in, and then you can call me back, and we can talk about what we talked about. So even the ones that missed it, you can still put them on it because you recorded the call. Now, the difference between that and an actual recorded call is that on that call, I'm saying, hey, I want to welcome everyone to the call. As you know, I'm working with Dave Hall to help him launch his business. I'm really excited. I mean, Dave is super excited about the business. I know that, he's really going places with Legal Shield, and I'm here to help support, you guys and Dave in building this business. So I'm edifying Dave during the call. So when he uses that as a recruiting call with his other prospects, his name's being mentioned. It's a private call for him and his team, which can be a little bit different than just giving them a national call that doesn't have that same local effect. So you can get more out of the private conference calls if you actually get a line that you can record for free. That way you can use that call over and over and over with that. And then, the other thing is just getting them plugged in. And we're going to talk a lot during the 10 core commitments about plugging people into the system and things like that. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this right now, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, the reason I'm standing in here in front of you today is because I got plugged in. You know, because I went to Columbus, Ohio for that Super Saturday. You know, Mr. Hughes said something the other night about, you know, never miss. You know, that was my mantra. I'm not missing. You know, I may not know what I'm doing, but I'm not missing. I'm gonna keep going until I figure it out. You know, some people get frustrated, they quit. I got mad because I said, you know what? There's no way that these people are more talented than me. There's no way they're just doing. I'm just not doing something right. So I'm gonna keep going until I figure out what I'm not doing that they're doing that's causing the success. And so I just never miss. So when you get a new associate, thank God that my sponsor insisted I go to Columbus, Ohio for that meeting. Because had I not gone, I may not be here today. Because I might not have seen the big picture. Thank goodness that I went to that Super Saturday where I heard those two platinums. Because I was pretty frustrated. After 7 or 8 months in a business and your organizational sale count is one, you know, it can be a little frustrating. Especially when there was no events like this within driving this to my house to encourage me. I was, you know, when you're out there on your own and you feel like, is anyone else even doing this business besides me? You know, am I the only one out here? You know, it can be frustrating. And thank goodness I went to that first national convention. And let me tell you what happened at that first national convention. I'm sitting there and the convention was in Tulsa, it was in Oklahoma City, that one. And anyone that's been to Oklahoma City at the convention center, you know where they do the supplies? You know, that little where it's like cement slab and all that stuff. That's the room the convention was in. Okay? And so it was half of that room. There was about 2,000 people there. And it was there. And literally, here was the convention set up. You see this? Minus the screens. That was the convention stage. They had a stage that looked like this that was just bigger. And people would come up on the stairway and do their little speech in front of a podium. And that was what the convention looked like. And they had these round tables where all the executive directors sat. And I'm sitting back there in my chair like you are here. It looked like a big Super Saturday. We have Super Saturdays that look like the first national convention I went to. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and I don't even remember who said it. They got up on stage. They said, how many of you are going to show up as executive directors next year? And like 2,000 people got up. Woo! They're all cheering. They're standing on the chairs. You know, people get all excited, you know. And I was like sitting in my seat. I did not stand up. I sat in my seat, and I'll just be honest with you. I'll tell you what I thought. I looked down the row, and I was like, as far as I could see, people are standing and cheering, I'm going to be executive director next year. And I said, there's no way 2,000 people are coming back as executive director next year. As a matter of fact, half of them won't even be here next year in the business. That's a statistical fact. So half these people that say they're going executive director won't even be in the business a year from now. And most of the people that are on their chairs cheering that they're going to go executive director won't do what it takes when they leave here to fulfill that commitment to go executive director. So I'm not going to stand up and make that commitment like everybody's doing. I'm going to sit here in my chair, and I'm going to make a commitment to myself right now that I may be the only one in this row that comes back as executive director, but I am coming back as executive. I am going to be the executive director that comes back in my row. Hopefully there's more with me, but I'm going executive director. And my goal at the next convention was to come and sit in one of those tables, because they had tables, and I was getting tired of sitting in that seat there. And I said, I want to sit at the table with executives. So I came back in 1998 to the next convention as an executive director, and they removed the tables. So I never got to sit at the table. I was like, you know, so if you ever come to Florida for our big regionals every 90 days, we have tables for the executive directors, because I'm like, I'm sitting at a table. If I got to run the event, I'm going to make tables. Okay. So everyone benefits in Florida from the fact that I still have a complex. I never got a table. So all the executive directors get tables just like here. But that was my mindset. See, the commitment you make to the commitment that you need to make is not the commitment that you make in front of your peers here. Because tomorrow morning when you wake up, these 100 people around you are not going to be there to support you, you know, every minute of the day. The commitment you make to yourself is the commitment that you will do what you said you would do long after the mood you set it in has passed you by. So it's easy to get up in a big room full of your peers and say, I'm in, I'm doing it, I'm going all the way, I'll see you at the top. But when you go out tomorrow and try to do an exposure and somebody says, no, are you still in? Are you still committed? Are you still going to do it? When one of your so-called leaders quits, are you still in? Are you still committed? Are you still as excited? You know, when somebody that you thought for sure was going to join the business and they do, and then they fall into the witness protection program, are you still in? Are you still committed? Are you still going to do the business? So the reason we call the next, you know, stage of 10 core commitments is because that's what it is. It's the commitments that help you go that next level. So, David, you put up those 10 core commitments for me. I'm going to kind of go through these in a little bit different way because I'm going to share with you how I have used these commitments in my own business to have success. Okay? And when you put these up there, you know, and I'm going to jump down here for just 1 second, just to make sure I can. You know, it says commit to the process. Okay? Now, there is a process in Legal Shield. You know, if you were going to open up any franchise, you know, they would give you like a book that says, here's how you operate your business. Do you know if you start a McDonald's franchise and you decide on your own that you want to put cheeseburgers in blue wrappers, you're done. Okay? Because that's not part of the process. Everybody knows cheeseburger goes in what color wrapper? Yellow, right? We all know that, right? Has anyone ever been into McDonald's? When you walk into McDonald's, okay, what side are the French fries on? They're on the left. They're always on the left. Have you ever seen a McDonald's with French fries on the right? No. If you decide, I would rather put the French fries on the right, you're done. They pull your franchise. You're like, yeah, but I paid $1.2 million for this franchise. It doesn't matter. They've got a process that they have proven over time works, and if you try to go against the process, they pull your franchise. Well, in Legal Shield, you're an independent associate. We can't pull your franchise, okay? But what you do is you're pulling your check is what you're doing. Because every time you try to go against the system and say, I've got a better way to do it, you know what? I like blue wrappers for cheeseburgers, and I don't care what they say. In my previous business, I wrapped them in blue, and doggone it, that's what I'm going to do now. They'll say, well, that was your previous business, but does not apply to our business. So you have to forget about what you've learned in previous businesses because this is a different business model. So you have to, number one, commit to the process. Now, how long do you commit to the process? I was spending a bunch of days the other week with my good friend Alan Fernley. We were traveling around Florida and covering about 1,000 miles together in a car. By the way, if you ever want to stay excited for a couple days, just travel around Florida for 1,000 miles in a car with Alan Fernley. He almost hit me one time on the way to West Palm Beach in one of his moods. Doggone it, Don, we're traveling down this road and we're going to West Palm Beach and this is why we're doing it. I'm like, Alan, you're going to take us off the road. Just relax. You know, so, you know, he gets a little bit expired up and I'm like, we got a little car here. You know? When we were traveling around, here's what Alan said. Somebody raised their hand. He goes, he was taking Q&A. He goes, how long do I follow up with somebody? Alan says, as long as it takes. How long do I commit to the process? As long as it takes. You know, are there going to be obstacles along the way? Absolutely. If it was easy, you know, everybody would do it. And they wouldn't pay you what you get paid right now. I had one of my associates said, oh, I wish those commercials were better. You know, I mean, as far as I wish those commercials were running nationwide because, you know, we could sell all these memberships. But they watch the commercial, I go, no, don't want what you don't want, you know. Why would you, you know, I don't want a system where they could just sell 10 million memberships on a commercial, right? The one thing that the commercials proved Legal Shield is what? They work great, but they need us, right? Because it takes us to go up to the person after the commercial and go, hey, did you see that? Let me tell you what we're talking about. So you got to commit to the process for as long as it takes, whatever it takes, things like that. The second one, it says you got to get connected through communication. Now, it seems like kind of a minor one, but it's a major one. If you're not plugged into communication, it's hard for you to run your business. Now, if you're not getting the emails, I know some people complain, oh, Legal Shield sends too many emails. As the CEO of my own business, why would I ever care that I'm getting an email updating me on something about my business, right? If it does not apply to me, the delete button takes like 1 second, right? So if I'm like, I don't need to go to CDLP school, I'm already CDLP certified, I can hit delete and it's gone, right? But I want every communication possible from my business because I want to know what's going on in my business. I want to know how it's affecting me. If there's a promotion, I want to know about it. I want to be among the first to know about it so I can push it to my team. I want to plug in to communication. I want to make sure that I'm connected. I want to make sure I'm getting emails from my leaders, emails from my regional managers, emails from my regional vice president, emails from my certified meeting coordinators or whoever's sending that information upline. I want to stay connected to the information because if anyone has a cell phone on them, guess what's happening right now as we speak? The power in your phone is going down because it's not plugged in. Every minute that you don't have it plugged in, it's going down. And what do you have to do when it gets down to that blinking low battery? If you don't plug it in soon, what happens to it? It dies. So your associate, every minute they're not plugged in, pretty soon they start blinking. And if you don't plug them in soon, they're gone. So I want my associates plugged in all the time so they're 100% charged all the time. They know what's going on. They know what's happening with their business, and they can always be plugged in. You know, the other ones is go through basic training. Now, you know, basic training to me is the platform where we help new associates get started. You know, we coach in Florida that, you know, basic training is probably the most important training that new associates are ever going to go to, because it's the first training that most associates ever go to. Now, some of you came here today, saw the information, you stayed. So in this case, this might be the first training you've ever been to. But most associates' cases, that basic training is the most important event they're ever going to be at. So I will tell you this. If you're a basic trainer in the room, you have a very serious responsibility to Legal Shield, because we are putting our new associates in your hands for those 3 hours. And if you do a great job, you have done a service for a lot of associates that you will never meet, because you have taken that new associate that they worked, you know, how many, you know, think about that person that you've worked on for a year and a half. That's why whenever I do a training, I don't care if there's 3 people in the room or 300 people in the room, I give 100% every single time. Because I'm always, you know, always thinking that there's someone in the room that paid a serious price to be here today. And I want to give them 100% every time. And when you're a basic trainer, there's someone sitting in your class. And I don't care if your class is 5 people, 6 people, 2 people, or 30 people. There's someone in your class that somebody worked really, really hard to get there. They went through a whole process. They made the exposures. They finally got the person to say, I'm in. Might have taken them 6 months. Might have taken them 2 years. Might have taken them a week. I don't know. They got them to say, I'm in. They send them to your training class. And we owe it to that new associate to make sure that every basic training is, when they come out of there, they're going, man, I can't believe this. I joined an awesome company. Let's get to work on this thing. Okay? And so you as an associate need to treat it seriously like that too. You know, sometimes like, oh, we got to send them to basic training. You just send them off. You know, I mean, you wouldn't send a 1-year-old off to school and be like, you'll be fine. All right? You know, I mean, when we do that to new associates, I'll go to basic training. You'll be fine. You know, you work. I never understood this. You work all this time to get your associate, like, to that point. What would it take just to go 3 more hours with them and be there with them during that basic training class? To be there with them and saying, hey, I'm here with you. I want to make sure that, you know, you have any questions afterwards. We can maybe sit down and, you know, we'll get a coffee or some chicken wings or something. We'll talk about what you heard today and we'll kind of build the game plan. You know, they're never going to be more ready to do the business and have a game plan than the minute they walk out of that class. So if you wait 3 days to follow back up with them, they come out of there, they're all excited, they go call their Uncle Harry, who they know for sure is going to join the business, right? And they call Uncle Harry, and he's like, you got involved in what? Oh, my gosh. I had a friend of mine that did that. You know, he lost like $10,000. You're like, how do you even lose $10,000? It's impossible, right? But Uncle Harry told your new associate that he did. And so you're like, well, I don't even know how it's possible, but, oh, man, I guess Uncle Harry said he did, so... Next thing you know, you're trying to call your new associate, and he's like, well, yeah, I'm going to see if I can get to that meeting on Thursday, but, you know, I'm kind of busy, and I'll try to get there, and, you know, because they were here with their enthusiasm level, something happened, they came here. But see, if you're there with them afterwards, say, hey, let's build your game plan, let's do this, let's do that, you're right there with them, then when that happens, you're there to go, no. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's go ahead and let's start. You know, so you're there with them. So that basic training is extremely important to make sure that, you know, you make it an event, that you make it something that, you know, they come out of there super fired up about. You know, number 4 on the list is the exposure process. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the exposure process today, because I think most people don't really understand how the exposure process works. Okay? You know, you hear us say, like, do 2 a day. You know, do 5 a day if you're full-time, you know, things like that. Here's what we're talking about. Okay, you want to get, you know, Legal Shield has made it so easy today to get information in front of people. You know, someone asked me the other day, well, how do you handle long distance? I handle long distance the same as I handle someone that lives 3 miles from me. I mean, today in the technology that we live now, that may not have been the answer 18 years ago, but it is the answer today, because if I'm standing there with Dave and I meet him out in the lobby and I say, Dave, check out my 2-minute, there's a 2-minute intro video on Legal Shield, check that out. I'll call you tomorrow, see what you like best about it. He checks it out. What do I do with my friend in California? Hey, check out this 2-minute intro video on Legal Shield and see what, you know, tell me what you like best about it. It's the same exposure and it's real time. You know, there's no more of this, hey, in 3 days I'm going to send you a DVD, you're going to get it, and then you're going to tell me what you think about it. You know, it's all real time. If your friend in California says, hey, I watched that intro video, it looks really interesting, so how exactly does this membership work? Hey, go. Are you on your computer right now? Let's go right back to that website. You see that little video that says membership? Click on that. I'll hang on the line while you watch it for 5 minutes. It tells you all about us. So, you know, well, yeah, but how do you get paid? You see that video on compensation? Click on that video on compensation. This little orange hair guy named Bob's going to explain it to you, and I will be back here in 9 minutes and tell you, and I'll call you. Matter of fact, I'm going to call you in 10 minutes exactly because the video is 9 minutes long, and then if you have any questions, we can talk about it. So it's the same exposure long distance as it is in real time. One of the things that we've, when Alan Fernley came to Florida, we did a lot of traveling, of course, you know, these videos and things that he launched in Oklahoma City, and you know, Patrick Hodges came back and so forth, is, you know, we've been really using that 2 minute intro video off the website as a first exposure. You know, now there's lots of first exposures you can use. The DVDs obviously a fantastic exposure and things like that. But, you know, and I know some of you have heard this before and some of you haven't heard this before. But Rip Mason, about 2 years ago, right after Legal Shield became Legal Shield, he was at a conference of CEOs in the Cayman Islands. And he says he did it for us. You know, he's taking one for the team and going to this conference so he can learn more. He went to the Cayman Islands, you know. And so he was there with like 50 of the top CEOs in the country. And they had this little breakfast meeting. And they were they had these little, like, handheld, like, you know, if you've ever been to, like, a sports bar and had, like, the little trivia, same kind of concept, except they were answering questions that I guess CEOs should know, okay? And he said he was doing really good the first half. He was, like, first place. And then things started to go wrong. But anyway, so one of the questions they asked was, how many videos does the average American watch, okay, on a monthly basis? Now think about all the little videos you go watch on YouTube, and when you go like on Yahoo, and there's a little video, and some guy did something, you're like, oh, well, how'd that happen? You know? So think about the number coming up in your head. How many videos does the average person watch on a monthly basis? And that's all Americans, young and old. And the answer is 175 a month. Now, I would never have guessed that. Rip said that most people were guessing 30, 40, or 50, and he said that was even high. I think he put down 25, but it's 175 videos, okay, a month. So people are used to watching things, those little short clips, minute, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes, things like that. So what we've been doing in Florida that's made a big impact since Oklahoma City is that we are using that 2 minute introduction video on the hub site. And by the way, use your hub site. Don't use the direct link to it, because when people watch the two-minute video on their own, they'll go, this is kind of interesting, and they'll start going to other areas of your website and watching this video and that video and things like that. So that's, you know, that's why we use that, just because I've had tons of experience how that's worked. But that was the advice that Alan gave when he came to Florida as well. You know, but here's what's going on. We've increased the number of guests coming to meetings because they know what they're coming to. Going back to that thing, sometimes people get nervous about what you're bringing them to when they don't know what they're coming to. So when we invite a guest to a meeting and they have no clue what they're coming to, a lot of times those guests aren't showing up. So I invited 5 guests and nobody showed up. I'm trying to get more people to show up. But what we find is that when we show them the 2 minute clip first, and they go, well, that sounds really interesting. Well, hey, I'm glad you think so, because we're actually having a presentation on Thursday night. We have one of our top presenters. Now they kind of know what they're coming to a little bit. They're interested. And I'll give you a little story. In Fort Lauderdale, about 2 weeks ago, we had this massive rainstorm. We just get some massive rainstorms in South Florida every once in a while. We had this big old torrential downpour all day. So meeting day's Thursday, and I was not there, but the regional manager called me the next morning to tell me the story. Tommy Ningert's already in their six-figure ringers over there. He says, we had this massive rainstorm. He goes, one of those rainstorms, you're like, should I cancel the briefing? Because I'm afraid nobody's coming tonight. He goes, well, when we got there, he goes, there were 660 people showed up. He goes, I couldn't believe it, they came through the rain. But he's even more impressive than that. He goes, of the 60, 16 were guests. Now, 16 guests on a normal Thursday night, we'd be like, oh, okay, that's great. 16 guests showed up. But 16 guests had come out in a torrential downpour, like literally like, you know, inches and inches of rain, where it's like they're telling you, you know. And he says, you know, so after the meeting they were doing the training. And of the 16 guests, all 16 showed up, came to the training afterwards. They all stayed for the training. So they said, how many of the 16 of you watched something on the website before you came here tonight? 10 of them raised their hand. They said, ma'am, can I ask you what you saw? She said, I saw the two-minute, little two-minute clip. And how far did you drive to get here tonight? She goes, I came from Homestead an hour and 15 minutes away. Wow. She said, well, why did you come out to the meeting tonight? It's pouring down rain. You had every reason to say, I'm not coming. Why did you still come? She goes, because when I saw the two-minute video, I said, I want to know more about this company. She goes, so I came here to meet the people. They said, sir, why did you come to the meeting tonight? He goes, what did you see? He said, well, I watched a two-minute video and I watched a membership video. And why did you come here tonight? Because it sounded a little bit too good to be true when I was watching it online, and I wanted to come out here and meet the people and make sure this is real. And that's what I saw here tonight. It's real. And they went down the line and asked those 10 people, and the reason they had come out in a torrential rainstorm is because they knew what they were coming to. They knew that they were coming to something that interested them because they had seen even a two-minute clip or a three-minute clip or something like that. And so to us, that was like total, that was like, okay, we're on the right track here because they're coming out to check. Now, if someone watches that two-minute clip, in my opinion, and has zero interest whatsoever, you probably saved yourself them not showing up or whatever, because to me, that's kind of like the little, you know, that's kind of like the funnel you're putting them in, and that's like one of those sifting areas. And if they're not interested at all, then you can, you know, you kind of move on. But so we're talking about exposures. One of the things I think you have to understand is exposure is not a one-time thing. It's not like I expose this person to Legal Shield. Exposure is a process. You know, you're dripping on that person. So, hey, I showed them the two-minute clip. Oh, they liked it. Then I took them on and I showed them this website. You know, then I went over to their house and I plugged in the DVD with Darnell Self. We watched that together, and that was like the third exposure. Or I invited them to the business briefing. Or I did, you know, I put them on a conference call. Or, you know, so exposure is constantly exposing on that person until they say, you know what, I want to get started in this business. And like I said, sometimes that's a one-week process, sometimes a one-day process, but most of the time it's going to be several months or maybe even a couple weeks or whatever it is, and so forth. So don't ever feel like I brought them to the business briefing and they didn't sign up. Well, that's just one exposure. You know, did you follow up with that person? You know, so when we say two exposures a day, you know, I think that what we're missing there is two exposures a day with consistent and persistent follow-up. Because that one exposure is just one exposure. On average, it takes 5 to 7 exposures before somebody gets started in the business. Now, one of the things I will teach you about exposures is there's no reason for the exposure process to last months and months if it doesn't have to. In other words, I try to compact the exposure process. So you can have one associate that makes 5 exposures in a month. You can have another associate that made 5 exposures in 2 days with that prospect. Because they might have put them on the two-minute video, then they put them on a three-way call with their upline because they were interested and they want to hear their story. Then they might have said, hey, watch that membership video and the compensation video. Hey, you know, or, you know, come out to the business briefing. So there might be 3, 4, 5 exposures going on, boom, rapid fire. And so there's no reason, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying expand it over months if you don't have to. You want to try to compress that into the fastest amount of period as possible, but you want to just consistently follow up in that exposure process. But this area here in the exposures is the area to me that makes the biggest difference. You know, we have a program going on right now in Florida called Focus Florida. And it all started because I was fishing with Alan Fernley. And by the way, you got to be careful what you say to Alan, because he immediately turns it into like a marketing campaign and puts you in charge, right? So he doubled my workload like in a week. I'm like, Alan, we're never going fishing again. It was supposed to be relaxing. You double my workload. We're not doing that anymore. But we put this little campaign in. And here's what it was really all about. It was about putting associates in a comfort zone to have them do more activity than they're doing right now. That's really what the basis of it was. And so Alan came to town, and he made him feel comfortable. He said, listen, we're not, and the way he put it, which made a lot of sense to me, was think about, he put up the top 10 businesses that have the best customer service ratings in the country. It was done through a business magazine. I think it was Business Week. Top 10. You know, companies like Apple, Southwest Airlines, companies like Nordstrom, you know, things like that. He says, now, when you walk into like an Apple store, I think it was number 3 on the list, he goes, what do you expect? You expect customer service. You expect them to be professional. You expect them to help you. And you expect them, you know, you don't expect them necessarily to shove an iPhone down your throat. You just want to be there. Hey, I'm checking this out. I'm doing this. And so they're kind of selling you on your time, at your pace, and so forth. He goes, a lot of times in our business, we're selling, trying to sell people on our time, on our frame, on our, you know, all these things. So we kind of change that business model, which can cause a little bit of discomfort there sometimes. So what he was saying is, if you're an Apple salesperson and you talk to 10 customers today, and those 10 customers, they don't sign, they don't buy a phone from you, they don't buy anything. As an Apple salesperson, you walk home that night feeling totally miserable. No. You did your job. You provided good customer service. When they need something, they're going to come back to you. He said, so as a Legal Shield associate, why do we sometimes go home feeling like we weren't successful, we didn't do our job, feeling like, oh, I did something wrong? Because if you just do the business model correctly, you're out there, you're sharing information with people. Whether they buy a membership, don't buy a membership, become an associate, don't become an associate, you provide a good customer service to them. You are professional. You follow up in a professional manner. You do so on a consistent and persistent basis, you know, and you should walk home every day, as Alan puts it, feeling like that Apple person that, hey, I did a good job and I provide a good customer service. And what that does for the brand of Legal Shield is it keeps the brand of Legal Shield as a very positive experience for everybody. You know, I was talking to a new associate down in Cape Coral, Florida. He says, yeah, I have a friend of mine that was trying to refer me to a couple of Legal Shield. And one guy said to him, oh, don't sick those people on me again. So in other words, whoever presented it to this guy did so in a way that caused damage to the brand, to the point that said, oh, don't, you know, because however it was done was obviously done not correctly. We want to do it in a way that whether they buy a membership now or not, whether they become associate now or not, they walk away going, you know what, those Legal Shield people, they're good people. And when I need help, they're there for me to help me out in that situation. So what we did is we took all the pressure off of these associates. And we asked for volunteers in Florida to kind of be a little bit of an experimental group on this. And we got 355 volunteers. And so I coordinated them all in teams of six and things like that and gave them workout partners. So we had teams of six. And then every one of the teams of six, we had workout partners. So the teams of six meet on a conference call once a week. And their workout partners, they talk every day for 6 weeks. And we didn't do it with their own team. So they were totally teamed up with people they'd never met before, and which was even better because sometimes you're more accountable to strangers than you are to your friends and people that you work with all the time. And we said, just go out and start exposing people to Legal Shield and not really focusing on, I got to get a membership sale, I got to get a recruit, but focusing on providing good customer service, getting the exposure process out there. And here's what's happening. Is that we have had more exposures, because we track all this. They got to send in weekly reports to the home office and to us. I have one woman on our team of six. Her and her husband have made 88 exposures over the last 5 weeks. Now she says, Don, I've never done that much before. She says, I always put all this pressure, all this, just, I'm just going out and I'm just making it. And all of a sudden with all those exposures comes what? Stories. Oh, I sold, this person bought a membership, this person's coming to the business. And our guests at our business briefing are going up. Because people are out making more exposures than they've ever made before. They're not putting all that pressure on themselves. And what it's doing is we've taken associates that have been fairly inactive, and all of a sudden they're making massive exposures because they've kind of changed their mindset of, okay, I'm not going to worry if someone says yes or says no or any of those people. And the other thing that I love that Alan put up there is he put up a little graph, and some of you have seen this at the national conventions, but he has it color-coded. And like the orange people on the color code are like the 10% that are ready right now, like, you know, our research says that these people in orange, if you run into one, they're buying a membership today, right? He says, and then, you know, the people in blue, they're the probablys. Like, hey, they're probably going to buy a membership or become an associate. Then you got the greens that are kind of like maybes. Maybe they're going to buy a membership, maybe they're not. He goes, then you got the browns, which were probably not. And then there was another color, I can't remember, I think it was yellow or something, that were definitely not, okay? So Alan said, here's what your job is to do. Your job is to make an exposure and help that person identify which one on the chart they are. He goes, if they're a yellow, which is a definitely not, you've still done your job. Because you approached the person. They said, I don't like attorneys. I hate attorneys. I never want to be involved with attorneys. If you say the word attorney, I'm walking away. They're a definitely not. There's nothing you're ever going to say to that person that's going to get them to buy a membership. They're just one of those 10% definitely not people. But if you went out there and exposed that person to Legal Shield, even if they didn't buy a membership or become an associate, did you still do your job? Yes. Can you still go home that night, put your head on the pillow and say, I did a good job today because I provided good customer service, and yet I helped that person identify that they're definitely not. And that's the mindset, And then you run into someone who says, hey, this kind of sounds interesting. You know, tell me a little bit more about how this works. Okay, great. I just identified I've got a blue person here. They're a probably, but they need a little bit more information. So now I've got to provide that consistent follow-up with that person. Sometimes you're going to come across someone and go like, man, where were you 2 years ago? I could have used it for this. I could have used it for this. I could have used it for this. How do I get started in this thing? They're an orange person. They're ready to go right now. And so when we did that, what happened with these associates is it took like, we joke about it on the line. She's like, oh, I did an exposure the other day, and they was definitely a yellow person because they were like, they were not having it and stuff like that. But see, the associates, instead of feeling like a failure because they didn't sell a membership, can now say, I did my job. I just identified, helped them identify. They're a yellow person. They're just not going to do the business. And it totally changed the mindset of some of these associates to help them go out and do more exposures because they no longer felt like I failed when they didn't buy a membership. They knew that they had done their job. They had done it professionally. And they could get up the next day and do it again because there was no rejection. Because when you think about it in those terms, there is no rejection in Legal Shield. They're not saying no to you. They're not rejecting you. They're just a yellow person. You can't change them. Not everyone in the United States drinks Coca-Cola, something like Pepsi. Right? Coca-Cola doesn't say, I got to get 100% of the people in America to buy Coca-Cola. They realize that there's people out there that are just going to drink Pepsi. So you're not going to get 100% of the people that say, I want a Legal Shield membership or want to become an associate. But if you go out there, you'll find enough of them that do. Now, here's the other thing we found. The more exposures you do, the faster you're going to find the orange people. You know, if you do 3 exposures this month, it's really hard to recruit 4 people. I've tried it. It does not work, okay? It just does not work. Now, if you go expose 88 people like this woman did in Tampa, the chance of you finding 4 this month is pretty good, right? And so that's the mindset you have to look at. The more people you put in play and you follow up persistently and consistently with, see, what happens is the associates that benefit the most from these big promotions, when there's a big $100 promotion like we have right now, the associates that benefit the most from those are the ones that have put a bunch of people in their pipeline. Because when June 1st hits and they go, $100? I got like 100 people in my pipeline right now. I'm just going to start banging the phones with these people that I've been talking to for like the last 3-4 months. The ones that wake up on June 1st with no one in their pipeline and say, oh, I got to get on promotion, let me start doing some exposures, they're already behind months to the person that's been filling that pipeline, providing that good customer service, getting those people to do that. Okay? So, exposures, that's, you know, if you think about it in that mindset, doing 2 a day, 5 a day should be no problem whatsoever because, again, you're just out there providing good customer service, exposing people to what you do. You know, we talk about the business briefings. To me, that's the lifeblood. Somebody asked me last night, you know, well, what do you do if there's like 3 business briefings kind of in your area and, you know, you're working full time? I said, I always tell people at least make one business briefing, your home business briefing, where you can commit to that being there every single week, you know, because that's your meeting. I've never understood how people can be more dedicated to bowling night than they can to their Legal Shield business. I mean, you've had people say, well, I can't go on Thursday night. That's my bowling league. Been doing that for 20 years, you know. Well, you've got to make a decision what's more important, okay? And, you know, some of those things are critical decisions. You may have to make a decision on what you can do and what you can't do, you know, and things like that. I had a young lady who was very involved in her church. And she said, listen, I volunteer like almost every day. She says, well, I had to tell the pastor, listen, I'm going to be here every Sunday. I'm still going to be here every Wednesday, but I'm going to have to not come on Tuesdays because I got to work on my business. I mean, I'm any less dedicated, but I can't go 5-7 nights a week and come, you know, so that is, she said, it didn't mean that I was any less dedicated here, but I had to rearrange some things. And because I was volunteering like 7 nights a week, and I had to say, okay, 1 night a week, I've got to, you know, provide to my business. That was a decision she made. I'm not telling you to make that decision. I'm saying that sometimes we have tough decisions we got to make in our lives. But she knew that if I do this for 2 or 3 years, then perhaps I'll have the income to do more time, spend more time with that, go travel around the world, do different things, and so forth. So we all have decisions we've got to make. For me, it was actually closing my retail store 2 hours early on a Tuesday night. I could have very easily said, can't do it. I'm open till 9 every night. You know, it was a good conversation starter. People go, why do you close at 7 on Tuesday? I'm like, I'm glad you asked. And so, and we talk about the business, right? So, attend your regional events, Super Saturdays. You know, first of all, how many of you just are sitting here thinking to yourselves, I wish so-and-so on my team was here today. They needed to hear this, right? Okay, everyone has people, right? Always remember the most important person that's here is you. Okay? I tell my team all the time in a loving way, not to be, not in a cocky way, but in a loving way. I said, listen, If all of you quit, I would get back to executive director within 6 months because I know the system works. Okay? So the most important person that's in and committed is me. Because from me, the rest can happen. Now, the key is to get as many people as you can committed to coming to these events. So once you're totally committed that you're never going to miss an event, then you have to start working on making sure you have people on your team that are never going to miss an event. Because the events is what keeps you in. The events is you hear those little 1% things, and every event, if I can pick up one nugget that somebody says that I'm not doing, I might say it's all good, but that one thing that you said, that made a difference because I'm not doing that 1% thing, and I'm going to change that in my business starting tomorrow, starting today at 2 o'clock. I'm going to start changing that. So Super Saturdays. Of course, the national conventions, and I already talked about some of these things in my story. You know, that's why they're important. That's where, you know, the bigger the event, the bigger commitment you make. You know, when you're at a weekly meeting, you make a little commitment. I'm going to go to the Super Saturday. You go to the Super Saturday, you make a little bit bigger commitment. I'm going to commit to the next 30 days. I'm going to be running my business. When you go to the national convention, you make a little bit bigger commitment. Hey, I'm going executive director by 90 days, 6 months, whatever it is. The bigger the event, the bigger commitment that you tend to make at those events. And then, you know, you're committing, you know, to personal development. I'm not going to talk about personal development right now because I'm going to close with that. So I'm going to close with personal development. Then you find a workout partner. Here's the magic to what Focus Florida is. It's the workout partners. Because what happens is you get these little teams of six that are committed to each other. And when that happens, people don't feel like they're alone. They feel like, okay, I've got someone that I can contact when I'm having a day. I've got this little team of six. We're in it together, okay? And then each one of them have a workout partner that they're talking to daily. Because what we found is that even though we tell people to have a workout partner, most people still don't have a workout partner. And so by kind of forcing the situation, saying, hey, if you're in, we put you together, you got a group of six. Now within that group of six, get a workout partner, and you're going to talk to them every day. It forces them in that situation. And what they're saying is, man, having that workout partner makes all the difference. When I know I've got to be accountable and tell them at the end of the day, I did 3, I did 4, I did 10, I did 6, whatever, it makes them go out and do maybe what they wouldn't have done if they weren't accountable to somebody. So having that workout partner. Now, having said that, be careful who your workout partner is. Okay, because workout partners can be good and bad for you. Because sometimes you get a workout partner that's like a buddy. And when you first started Legal Shield, your commitment level was both the same and you became workout partners. Sometimes what happens is one person stays committed, gets more committed, and so forth. This person over here gets a little bit less committed, but somehow you stay workout partners because maybe you know the person. And what happens there is if you got a workout partner, see, a workout partner is the type of person that doesn't let you get away with stuff. When you say, listen, you know, Performance Club is going to be really difficult this month because I got some things going on. I got some relatives in town and stuff. But hey, but next month, I promise you, I am in, man. I am going to do this thing next month. Your workout partner is not going to let you get away with that. Your workout partner is going to be like, give me a break. It's 5 points. You can do 5 points. It's $100 right now to get people started, okay? I know the relatives are coming to town, but you told me last month you were going to be in Performance Club, and I'm not going to take no for an answer on that. So what do we got to do working together to get that done for you? Okay? So the workout partner is the type of person when they say, well, you know, Super Saturday's going on, but, man, I've got this thing going on, and it's kind of hard for me to get down to Salt Lake City and stuff. No, you got to listen, you know, and I don't care if it's me or whoever you got coming in. This person's never been to Utah before. You know, there's going to be nuggets shared you're never going to be able to get again. Yeah, we can record it, but it's not going to be the same. You've got to be there and get the information. They're not going to let you get away with that. Rearrange it. You can do that next Saturday, you know. The garage sale can wait. You got to get, you know, down here and get this information, okay? So, you know, so all of that stuff, that's part of what a workout partner is all about. And then be here a year from now. And be here a year from now. It's funny because I ran into someone last night, and I think they're here. I said, yeah, I just made my first year. They said, be here a year from now, and I'm here. I said, great. I said, now here's what we tell you on the first day after your first year. Be here a year from now. All right, so that's it. Because that's the key. The key is staying in the game. The key is staying in the game. You know, we live in a world of immediate success. You know, we love fast food because it's fast. I mean, how many of you ever pulled into a fast food line? There's like four cars in front of you. You're like, I do not have this kind of time, right? I do not have 4.5 minutes to wait for lunch. This is ridiculous. What are these people doing out here, right? And so we live in a society that if it does not happen like immediate, I call it a microwave society, right? I mean, we want that stuff done now. We want success now. But you know what? I have never met anyone that's successful that didn't pay a price to get there. And a matter of fact, you show me someone who's successful and didn't pay a price, it was probably given to them, and they're probably going to lose it because they never grew into the person to handle the success. I mean, how many of you have seen, like, the shows on the lottery, and, you know, you got people under there, they're given $1 million, and within 3 years, they're completely broke. Given $10 million, and in 3 years, they're completely broke. And the reason for it is because you can give someone $1 million, but that doesn't make them have a millionaire mindset to keep it. Whereas when I was making $30,000 a year in Legal Shield, I had a $100,000 mindset, which means that my check reflected me at $30,000, but I knew I wasn't worth $30,000. I knew I was worth six figures. I knew I just had to put in the time and continue to get better and continue to get better. Whereas you give someone $100,000, they got a $30,000 mindset, guess where they're going to be pretty soon? Right back to where they're used to being. Okay, so that's why, you know, we say be here a year from now is because one of my associates recently finished her 1 year anniversary. She goes, okay, I get it. I go, what? She goes, the whole be here a year from now thing. She's like, I've been in the business a year. And she goes, I now understand. I'm just starting to understand like what I need to do. So I'm like, I'm just now getting it. You know, she's like, I understand why you say be here a year from now, because there's so much I've learned in the first year. I can't even believe what I've learned in 365 days. I can't wait till the next year and see what I'm going to learn in the next 365 days. You know, it's a process. It's a process. So we talked about, you know, finishing up with personal development a little bit. And I want to kind of share a little bit of a story. I've shared this at a couple different places. And everywhere I go that I've shared the story, people always seem to come up to me and say, man, I'm glad you shared that story. So I've been sharing a story. But it has to do with my 16-year-old Matthew. And so as Matthew was growing up, and it's a little bit to do with my story and so forth, because to me, when you leave here today, the biggest thing I can help you with is that you make a decision. Because the how-tos come to you once you decide that you're going to do it. You know, people get so freaked out about go back to what you said on getting someone started. So how many memberships? I mean, so they're trying to figure out the how-tos. All that stuff comes to you. You learn it. You go to trainings, you learn it, and so forth. But once you make the decision, everything else is easier, okay? So my son Matthew, he was not gifted with incredible athletic ability, all right? My youngest, David, you know, he was born running like 5-minute miles. I mean, he's just out there, everything he's ever done, baseball, this or that, he's a natural athlete. My son Matthew had to work at it. Matter of fact, he played Little League for 5 years. And has anyone ever been in Little League before or been involved in Little League? Okay. He was the backup right fielder. Okay, so if you know what that means, okay, that was my son, all right? Whatever, however many kids there were in the batting order, that's what he batted. So one day he came to me, because everyone had to bat. So if there was 13 kids that showed up, he was number 13, right? One day he came to me, Dad, I made the top 9. I didn't have the heart to tell him only 9 kids showed up, right? So, but that was, that was him. And he had a couple boneheaded coaches along the way. I remember when he was 9 years old, we had to win that game to get to the nine-year-old, tournament or whatever like that. And bases were loaded. There was one out and it was two outs. Bases were loaded and Matthew's up at the plate. And I remember the coach from third base going, who's up? And they go, Matthew Thompson. He goes, oh, like as a parent, you just want to like slug the coach, right? I mean, you do everything you can to sit there and go, you know, it's like, hold mom back, right? So my son had not gotten a hit all year long, okay? But that one particular game, by an act of God, he connected that ball to left field and won the game. And the smile on his face, and I asked him afterwards, I said, so what did you hear the coach? He goes, I heard him. I said, what went through your mind? I said, God, if I only get one hit all year, please make it this one. He goes, and he answered my prayer, all right? So, his mindset, and I know it's because he's been involved in this industry growing up. All he's ever known is Legal Shield. You know, we didn't have any kids who got involved in Legal Shield. He's 16 now. He's been involved for 18 years. So he was raised in this industry. So he, personal development, and you don't really realize what your kids hear you say. I had my youngest said something to me the other day, and I said, where'd you hear that? He goes, on your team conference call. I said, when were you on my team conference call? He goes, Dad, you know, we go to bed at 9:30 on Sunday nights, which is right when you do your team conference call. I've been listening to him for like years, sitting in my bed, you know, I hear you talking on your team calls. So you don't realize what your kids are absorbing and bringing in their heads and, you know, things like that. So my son, when he played baseball, like literally, you know, if he hit it to the shortstop, the guy bobbled it, threw it to third, threw it to second, they'd still throw him out at first because he wasn't a very fast runner. He was just the slowest kid on his team. Couldn't run around the bases without, you know, practically stopping for air. And so one day he comes home in seventh grade. He says, Dad, he said, I am going to join the cross-country team. And I said, okay, son, let's have a little talk. I said, you do know that cross-country in middle school is like 2 miles. He goes, I'm going to do it, Dad. I said, okay. So he joined the cross-country team. And every race that he ran for that whole season, he finished last. Like when I say he finished last, like the last kid came in, and then like 4 minutes our son came in. All right, there might be 80 kids there, and he wasn't just last, he was way last, right? So that we went to every single cross-country race that he did, and I said, okay, you know what? I told my wife in a very loving way, I said, at least we don't have to go through that again, because we know that he's not going to run cross-country as an eighth grader. And so about that same time, I had gotten to the point where I was like about 275 pounds. And I just, well, matter of fact, the reason I wear this suit was because this is my suit of disgust. Everyone, I think we all have something like that. And I was at a meeting in Tallahassee about that same time. I could not button like one button on this suit. I couldn't button, like, I mean, literally it was like here. And I was like, okay, I cannot do this anymore. And so I went home and made a decision on December 28, 2009, that I was going to go out and I was going to start walking like 2 miles every day. So I said, I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to change how I eat, start walking like 2 miles every day. So while my son's going through that, I'm kind of going through this. And, you know, like I said, it's a decision, you know, and everyone has what's easy and hard for them. Like you might say, well, Legal Shield comes easy to some people. Well, to some people, fitness comes easy to you and it becomes really difficult to me. And for some people, business comes easy to them. So for me, I've always struggled with my weight. It's always been something that I've had a hard time with my entire life. So to me, that's one of like my areas that, you know, I understand how you feel when you're stuck at senior associate, because that's how I feel when I'm stuck over here and I watch skinny people walk by. I go, that's just not fair. They ate like 9 things of spaghetti and they're like, you know, they're skinny and I'm trying to struggle over here. I look at a plate of spaghetti, I gain 3 pounds, right? So we all have things that we're good at, things that we struggle with. So beginning of my son's eighth grade year, he says, Dad, going back out for cross country. I said, okay, let's have a little talk. So we sit there and we talk. I said, look, if you're going to do it, you need to practice a little bit more than the 2 days are giving you. So I bought him a membership at the gym. And I remember I noticed that every time he'd run a mile, he'd stop and start walking. So I asked him, I said, why do you walk after a mile? He goes, well, that's as far as I can go. I said, okay, come with me to the gym. So we took him to the gym, put him on a treadmill. I put a big towel over the treadmill. I said, I want you to run so you can't run anymore. He said, but how will I know how far I go? I said, just run till you can't run. There's a stop button right there. When you literally cannot run anymore, just hit the stop button. You'll stop. So he did. He just started running. By the time he hit the stop button, he had ran 2.76 miles. And he said, so I said to him, so it's right here. You get to the mile point, and you start telling yourself, this is where I normally walk, so I'm going to start walking. And I said, so it's you now know it's here. It's not in your physical ability. It's right here. The block is here. It's not here. So he went out the next race and he ran the entire race without stopping because now he knew he could do it. When he got to the mile point, he's now had crossed the barrier. He goes, no, I can do it. I just did it. So he kept going, finished 2 miles. Now he was still at the end of the pack, but now he was at least with the pack. All right. So, you know, he was at least in that little pack at the end that comes in, but he was still towards the back, but he was with the pack. So we finished the cross-country season like that. I thought, man, what a great lesson he's learned. Okay. But I told my wife, the good news is we know he's not going to run in high school. So it was a good lesson to learn. We know he's not going to run in high school, so we're good with that. About 6 months later, he comes to me, and his mom says, hey, Matthew, tell your dad what you joined, what club. And I'm like, because he's really smart, for, you know, a 4.0 student. I'm like, chess club? He's like, no. Spanish club? No. He's like, I joined the triathlon club. I said, let's have a little talk, all right? So I said, I've never seen you swim more than about 50 feet, you know, when they're at the pool. You don't own a bike. And running isn't exactly your strength. So what's your plan here? He goes, well, we're going to do a sprint triathlon in 6 months. I'm training with the triathlon club, the eighth grader. And there was a science teacher, eighth grader, started this little club. He says, so I'm training with them. I'm going to train with them. And we're going to do this, okay? I'm like, okay. So I borrowed a bike from my brother-in-law, a little beach bike. Not even a racing bike, a beach bike. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a bike. He might be out of this thing in like a month. So he went out and started working out. And he went out and he did his very first sprint triathlon, and on his age group, there were 8 kids that were 15 and under, and he finished 6th out of the 8. Okay, so he was all excited, came in an hour and 31 minutes, and I'm thinking, okay, Matthew, you did it. You know, man, I was just proud of him when he crossed the line, because I knew what everything he had done to get there. So he says, Dad, I want to do another triathlon. I said, okay. So a month later, we signed him up for the Heartland Triathlon, which is a big triathlon in Central Florida. By that time, I said, okay, if you're going to be serious, I can't stand to see you on a beach bike out there. This is killing me. So I bought him a racing bike, and I said, if you're going to be committed, I'll buy you the right equipment. So we bought him the right equipment. I did not know that the triathlon in Central Florida I entered him in was the state regional finals, okay? So they had an open division and the race. So he shows up, like all these kids show up, like $10,000 bikes. They got their team uniforms on, and this is like a second event ever, right? So he went out there. And there was a kids event on Saturday, which was that event, and there was an adult event on Sunday. So he did that event, and he finished 5th out of 8 that were in his age group among all those good kids and so forth. So next day he goes out to do the adult triathlon. And as he's going around the bike, which is a 14-mile path, you know, it's a closed path, we couldn't see him. I notice as he's coming in, I'm going, he should be here by now. And he's not here. It should be 45 minutes, it wasn't here. 50 minutes, not here. 55 minutes, not here. An hour. You know, mom's asking me, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. But I'm like, oh, everything's not fine because I know how long it should take him to ride that. And about an hour and 5 minutes, he comes in, and I notice that he's bleeding from like here to here. And you could just see it. He's crying. His tears are coming down his face. And it was a closed course, so we couldn't get on the course. And before we could even say anything to him, he takes off on the run. And he runs the entire 5K after that. And he comes in, like, should have been in like an hour and 15 minutes. Comes in like 2 hours and 10 minutes. There was barely anybody else out there. When he finishes the race, and the whole time he's running, you can see the tears. I say, are you okay? I'm fine. You know, you just keep running. He comes in, and we realize he had broken his elbow. So later that day, we had to take him to the hospital. He had to have it put in a cast. So turns out he had been clipped by someone in the back of the bike 2 miles into the race. So he rode 13 miles with a broken elbow, and then he ran an entire 5K with a broken elbow, holding his arm the whole time. I said, well, why didn't you quit? I said, why don't you stop? He goes, Dad, the only thing I had in my mind was finish the race. He goes, the pain was temporary, but I wasn't quitting this race. He goes, I worked too hard to get here. I'm not quitting. You know, so he got the cast on and so forth. Well, during that time, I noticed, you know, I started seeing all these 40-year-old people out there and so forth. So he kind of inspired me. I said, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. So I started working out with him a little bit and racing with the bikes and buying myself a bike and doing all the different stuff. So we did all of that. And in the last 3 years, I've dropped 50 pounds. I can fit in this coat. And we're still a work in progress in that. But what happened was my son that year went out for, you know, that following year went out for track. And he went from an 11-minute mile to a 5-minute and 57-second mile. That next year, he went back to that same triathlon that he did an hour and 31 in our hometown the year before. He went back as a freshman in high school, did the same in an hour 6 and set the course record for 15 and under on that particular triathlon course. He continued to go on and made the varsity track team. He ran a 5:20 mile this year on the varsity track team. He went back to triathlon last month and same course, did an hour and 2:50. And finished second in the 16 to 19 category. He's 16 now, and the only kid that beat him was 19 years old. And it's interesting because he was sharing with me the other day, and the reason I tell you the story is because he said to me, he says, Dad, he goes, I used to be really, really annoyed by people on the cross country and track team that didn't realize what they had. He goes, because they had such natural ability. And I watched them goof off in practice. I watch them not be the best that they can be because they have this natural ability. They're just relying on, they're naturally fast. They were gifted fast and so forth. He said, I used to get so mad at them because I would think it's not fair. He said, it's not fair that they have this natural ability and I don't. He goes, not fair that I had to work this hard and they didn't. He goes, but then I realized something. I realized that I, in the long run, will be so much further ahead than they ever will be because of the journey that I've taken to get to where I'm at. He goes, and it's because of that journey, he said, I can appreciate, he said, when I come in on a race, I can appreciate it way more than they can because I can still remember being last. And I can remember what it took to get, the hard work it took to get here. He says, because of that journey, he goes, in the long run, he goes, I will be way better than they are. He goes, because I know what it takes to get to that point. And so when I say that story, it's to let everyone in here know that, you know, when you have obstacles, when you have a journey, when you have things like that, when we talk about personal development, I mean, that's personal development. You know, he's raised around personal development. That shows you what that does in your life when you have that kind of you know, encouragement, when you have that kind of, you know, and so forth. And that's what it takes in Legal Shield. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have times when everyone else, it's reasonable for you to say, I should quit. But when you have that deep down inside that you know that this is where I'm going, this is how I'm going to get there, I don't care if it takes me 5 years, if it takes me 10 years, if it takes me 8 years, I don't care how long it takes me, it's going to take me how long it takes me, but I'm going to commit to really being successful in this business, that's what's going to help every one of you get to the top. Thank you. I really appreciate the time here in Utah. I'm going to turn it back over to Dave Hall.
All right. Wow, it's becoming very clear to me why Florida has so much incredible numbers. I know you guys are going to go on a tour of Utah. And so we got you a little coffee table book that you can take back to Florida. And some of the sites that you didn't get to see, there's going to be some incredible pictures, but we passed it around and asked everyone just to share a little bit about their thoughts about what they've experienced with you guys this weekend so that you can show your friends back in Florida some of the incredible thoughts and how thankful we are. But this is some, I mean, you look at some of these pictures of the places you guys are going to get to go see and stuff. They'll show them in the summertime and in the wintertime, but some of the national parks and stuff. It might even be a good little thing to look at and say, you know what, maybe we need a detour out of our trip and go see that. But awesome. Thank you guys very, very much for coming up here. Thank you. Give it again for them. All right. I'm ready to try something a little bit different after listening to what Mr. Thompson shared with us. And they've got the whole thing that Alan Friendly sent up with Focus Florida. And I know that if we blasted out an email and said, hey, who wants to take their business to a next level? Who wants to go executive director? Who wants to get in performance club for the first time? I mean, everybody says, oh, me, pick me, I want to do it. And yet, the vast majority of people out there, when you look at the 10 core commitments, we said, you know, who's your workout partner? Who are you accountable to? I know the vast majority of the people on my team will say, well, I don't have one. I'm embarrassed to ask one. I'm embarrassed to, you know, get one. And I would like to have someone to have a workout partner with. And I love what they're doing down there. But obviously, we say, hey, who wants to do it? Everyone says, I want to do it. You know, do you really want to do it? Are you ready to pay the price and do it? So here's what we're going to do for next markdown July 7th. We have $250,000 ring earner, executive advisory board member, Mr. Larry Smith. Woo! Coming in town to do our event July 7th. Now, the question is, between now and then, what's going to happen to you in your organization? Are you going to be performance club qualified and rock the stage? Are you going to have numerous people on your team here? Are you going to be on path to do what it takes to go executive director in this calendar year? Okay, 6th. Is it 6th? Is July 7th? I'm pretty... Let me double check. I'll tell you. Is it 6th then? 6th. Okay, 6th. It's the 6th. So, we're going to have a big barbecue on the 5th, and we're going golfing. if any of you like to go golfing, but we're not just going to take anybody. There's going to be some requirements to do some things. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a similar thing to what Mr. Thompson has shared that they're doing down there. We're going to divide up in groups of six. But not everyone's going to participate, and I get that. We're going to put a team captain in that group of six. You're all going to, in that group of six, sign up with a workout partner that you're going to have to be accountable to what you did activity-wise. So for some of you go, well, I've actually never had a workout partner. How nice would it be to finally have someone that called you or you called them, you guys work it out, who calls who, say, here's how many exposures I did. Could your numbers be better next month if you actually had to talk to somebody every single day and say, yes, I did do my two exposures? Because some of you will go 30 days. If you don't have a workout partner, you will go 30 days and not tell one single person that you're in this business. I know that. What does that cost you long term? You hear Mr. Thompson talk about his friend that went to law school. What was that cost long term when years later he looked back and said, Don, you made the right decision. I want you to make the right decision, but it's a voluntary business. But I'm going to hook you up with a workout partner if you're ready to do something about this. We're going to track this. We're going to monitor the numbers. Those that were here compared to those that weren't here. Wouldn't that be cool to know what the data is of the people who said, I'm in, I'm committed, I have a workout partner, I'm committed to be at the next event, I'm committed to do it hard for 30 days, and compare that to the numbers of the people that weren't here and see what their activity is over the next 30 days, and then be able to send that data into Alan and Rip and say, guess what? We deserve a personal visit from Mr. Fernley because we did the deal, and look at our numbers. You guys, we can document. So, it's going to take a little while, but I'm going to ask that we're going to do, you guys know, tickets are $20. We're going to do two for 30. One for 20 or two for 30. Everyone that gets two tickets for Larry Smith, here's what you're showing me, first of all. A, I'm committed. There's no way that with me doing the deal with a workout partner for the next month at a $100 entry fee, the lowest it's been in years and years and years, that with this type of activity, I can't find one stinking person out there that hates their job and says, I want to change with the training that we had today. So that shows that you listen to Mr. Thompson, you believe in what he said, and you say, I have the faith now to put it on the line, I'm in. So now you have two tickets for next month. I'm going to ask you to hang around afterwards. We're going to get through the process real quick. I want a picture of all of you guys up here on the stage with Mr. Thompson, since he brought the idea. I'm not taking credit for the idea. He brought it here. I want a group photo of you guys. We're going to have that etched now in history, a time capsule. These are the people that made the decision in June of 2013. The old is done. I'm ready for a new life. Then we're going to, after we have that photo, break up in groups of six, and you're all going to get a workout partner assigned to you, and you're going to have a team captain in that group. Preferably all my executive directors and leaders of the state, but that qualifies you too. You need to have two tickets, because if you're a leader and saying, hey, I'm a leader, I'm an executive director, but I don't think it's that important to be at Mr. Smith next month, I'm sorry, we'll have to pick somebody up. So I expect the executive directors to be sold out 100%. You guys are going to have your own little six-man weekly conference call where you guys get on the call and say, here's what's working. I had 10 exposures. Oh, my gosh. And you get inspired from each other. But next month, if this does what I think it will do, next month, let's give you a new workout partner. Because sometimes, like you said, one partner grows, one partner doesn't. You're going, I don't want to be locked into this person forever, but you feel bad saying to them, you're a turd. And so sometimes it's nice to just have somebody else say, good, the 30 days expired, and I get a new workout partner. But from every new workout partner, you pick up new skills, new ideas, new thoughts, new energy that now you can take to your next partner. And you take the strong from them, you add it to what you have, and you build to the next workout partner. Some of you have been here for years, and you've honestly never had a workout partner. And we say, here's the 10 core commitments. We say, man, I wish my business was stronger. Well, if you have a recipe for bread, but you take out just one of the ingredients, let's say it's yeast. You say, man, I've been a baker for years, and I cannot figure out why my bread is no good. You haven't included all the ingredients in the success plan. why not change? If it's obvious to you, I know it's obvious to me. When he did that training on how to get new people started right, there's some things in there that I just went, oh my gosh. I'm so excited for Monday to roll around because I'm going to be on the phone redoing a couple workout plans, new getting started right plans that I just barely did. And I get to call these people back and say, I forgot to mention something because I picked up something from someone that brought a skill that I didn't have. And I've been here 13 years, but he's been here 18 years. So with that said, we want to hurry and do this. Tickets are available out at the ticket table. I want a group photo. We'll get you to hang around just a little while for a group photo. Group photo with everyone. Once you have your two tickets, we're going to get a group photo. You holding up your two tickets, and then we're going to break up into groups of six real quick. Thank you all for coming out here. We'll see you on July 6th for sure. Grab your tickets, and let's get back here in 10 minutes.